Good morning.
Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started. It's within a few seconds, 10:30, so we will go ahead and get started. Today we're going to do Christmas stuff. Yay, the crowd says. Why? Because it's Christmas, and I'm thankful for it. So, unless there's a collection of them in our book, we're going to start with number 161. Sister Rachel's already given us an intro to the first song here, Go Tell It on a Mountain. Good, good, good. Turn back a few pages to 152. Come all ye faithful.
Thank you.
Bless your heart. Appreciate that good words there at the end. Good singing this morning. Those songs aren't to be easy for us to sing, to enjoy, and to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Stewart did a good job with our Sunday school lesson this morning, just talking about the second chapter of the book of Luke and about the birth of our Lord, bringing out points that many times we take for granted is what we do. Sometimes well, if you like me, when you were little at church, you did a Christmas program. I was always a shepherd or a wise man. Boy, the wise man didn't stick, did it? I was either a shepherd or a wise man. Somebody got to be Mary and Joseph. And in later years, you know, they got where they dressed the little ones up as sheep or something like that. But you had your angels and such. So all of that just kind of got into your mind very strongly. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible is about the birth of Christ. But the more I look at it, the more I find out that I've missed about it. And how precious and how wonderful it is to look at the fact that Jesus came into this world as a little bitty baby. Brother Timothy can attest to this. I grew up around cattle. You know, just about every creature that's born is able within just a little while of being able to take care of itself. But you know, a human being is just about as weak as any creature that's born. And it takes them several months before they can even do much of anything for themselves. And that's the form that Jesus came into this world. And you think about that very weak that he came in as far as being a human being, and yet when it was all said and done, he came out in power and great glory when he came out of that grave. And that's one of the greatest parts that I have today in my mind. I love the Christmas story, and I love to think about him being born into this world. And we wouldn't have had salvation without that virgin birth. I want you to understand that. But the greatest thing, I said this last week, the greatest thing that there was is when he came out of that grave, because that made it where I could be resurrected into everlasting life. He overcame death, hell, and the grave that we might be saved. And that's what it's all about right there. And I'm thankful for that today. It's good to see everybody out. I should say Merry Christmas to everyone. Many of you look very festive, look very Christmassy, as I've said to different ones, and I'm thankful for that. But the greatest thing that I want us to keep in mind, and Brother Stewart brought this out, we've got 4 days until the day of Christmas. That's the day we celebrate the birth of Christ. I agree, it's not the exact day, but we celebrate it, and we should celebrate it, not only on the 25th day of December, but every day of the week we should celebrate the fact that Jesus came into this world. And I want us to, for the next 4 days, especially, to be thankful. That's what it should be all about, is being thankful for what God had mercy upon us to do, to send his son into this world for sinners like me, is the way I look at it. It's good to see everybody. Appreciate our visitors being with us today. If this is your first time to be with us, we want you to make yourself right at home and worship the Lord. Just sing out in praise. Pray out as hard as you can, because every one of us needs the prayers of one another. And pray that God's Spirit will come down and be in the midst of our service today, is what I want you to do. Let's be about the Lord's business. as we do many times, we have a little portion of time where we spend a little bit of time with our young people. And I'm going to invite them right over here this morning, if you will. Come on, kids, come right over here. Thank y'all for coming up. Is that everybody? Yeah, come on over here. I thought I was missing somebody. Good to see all of you this morning. Okay. Everybody expecting a good gift? A car? New car? Ben wants a new car, right? Now, that's hopeful, I think. Now, what's the greatest gift of all? I talked to you a few weeks ago about us giving to God. Now, what's the greatest gift that there's ever been? Was it that Barbie doll? Maybe that truck? Go ahead, sir. Jesus is very right. That's the answer I was looking for. He's the greatest gift that we've ever seen on this earth. We talked about it a little bit in our preliminaries, in our preliminary talk, but Jesus is the greatest gift of all time. As we look at these things, and I know some of you have gotten the opportunity where that you made peace with God, but some of you are still young. But there's coming a day when you'll not only say Jesus, but you'll know it's Jesus because he gave you another gift, and that was your salvation. You see, God gives us something that we really right now, we don't even comprehend or understand. Maybe that's a better word, what it means to be saved, to be his child, to be just like him. But that's the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, is the fact that Jesus came into this world. But the next greatest gift that you'll receive will be when you get saved. Now, I hadn't planned on doing this, but I think this is appropriate right now. As I said, some of you have already been saved. But for some of you that's not, you see, there was a time when that I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. And as I was trying to find the Lord, and you've heard me say this many times, that I sought him for 3 years as a sinner, but I just couldn't get there. I thought I was a good boy. I hadn't done that much wrong. And so I didn't really think that I was really needed it that much. But there came a time when I knew I needed him more than anything else. And just out of that pure desire of wanting to be saved, I cried out to him. And at that moment in time, I got the greatest gift that I'll ever receive. And what he put inside of me was just peace. I felt new. Now, for you that haven't been saved, when you get that, you're just going to enjoy it. You know, that night when I got saved, I came up off that old moaner's bench and I started telling people. I started, because the joy was there. I wanted my cousin out there on the other end, I wanted him to get saved. The ones that was beside me on this side, I wanted them to get saved. You know what that was? That was just a great love. And that love was so great inside of me. Oh, it was the sweetest feeling that I'd ever had. I'd never felt anything like it before. Now, for you that have not experienced that, I want you to understand something. This is the greatest gift that you'll ever receive on this earth. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for you. He came into this world for you. That's the greatest gift. But personally, when you start to feel that salvation, that's the greatest gift that you'll ever receive. All right, it's going to be short and sweet. I'm going to turn you loose. Good to see everybody again today. I thank you for coming out to the house of the Lord today. And let's be about God's business in this service today. And let's ask the Lord to help us today to do what God would have us to do. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Is there any prayer requests upon anyone's heart? Let's remember the prayer request from earlier. We need to remember our shut-ins, the ones that are not able to be out and about. I'll mention Sister Linda Nass. She had her hip replacement, and it has not gone the way she thought it would. I'll put it that way. And she's not done as well. Brother Sonny, of course, with his dementia, is still not doing as well either, so we need to remember him. We need to remember Brother Bill Green's family. He lost his brother this week, and he spent a considerable amount of time at the funeral home yesterday, so he's not able to be with us today. So we want to remember him in our prayers. And there's so many other things that we need to be praying for. Does anybody else have a prayer request upon your heart? Go ahead, Brother James. Yes. Let's remember this young boy that he'll soon be saved, that grandfather will get to see him saved. Yes, sir. They sure do. Thank you, Brother James. Let's remember Mitchell. Let's remember his two grandsons that don't get to come to church either. So let's remember them in our prayer. Somebody else have a prayer request? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's thank you, Brother Leslie. Let's do remember our service men and women that are serving. And as he said, really don't get to have a family Christmas, is the way I'll put it. They are serving, and they have a duty, and they're following that duty, and we need to remember them. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. Let's ask the Lord to help us today in this service. I'll ask you to pray for me. If it's God's will that I preach today, I want it to be what comes from God. I don't want it to be what's in my head or what some man would have me to preach. I want you to pray that it'll come from God. So let's be prayerful one for another. Brother Sam, I feel like you are to lead us in prayer this morning, if you would.
Continue our song service. 157. 157. Good. Just threw the one right below that now. Away in a manger in 158. For our last number, let's do number 155. 155. Joy to the world. We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Very good. Thank you, preacher.
Thankful for everyone coming up to sing this morning. Appreciate everybody taking part in the singing. And I asked your prayers today. Before we go any further in service, we always want to follow the Lord. And if there's anyone that has anything upon your heart, we want you to follow the Lord. It's not about what I do. It's about what God does. And we ought to be willing to serve Him and do everything that we possibly can for Him. For if you're like me, you feel like you owe Him something for saving your soul. And truthfully, we cannot ever pay Him back for what He did for us. And because of that, well, we can only do what we can do. And but that should not be an excuse not to do anything either, should it? So let's be about God's business and let's try to follow Him today in this service. You heard me say last Sunday, this right side of my head is stopped up, and I still have that today. I thought it had opened up a little bit today, but nah, never mind that idea. So if you speak to me, make sure I'm looking at you or you're on this side talking to me. It's the best way to say it. I just hope that I don't bother anybody with this. I hope as much as anything that I'll be blessed of the Lord. So you pray for me today that everything will be what God would have it to be in this service. If nobody has anything on your heart, I'm going to the last book of Matthew today for our reading lesson. And you say, well, I thought it's right here for Christmas. You're supposed to preach a Christmas sermon. Well, you've heard me say I'm not a preacher of occasion, but don't jump too quick now as far as opinion is concerned. We're going to take our reading lesson, as we said, from the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. We quote these verses, these last several verses a lot in church. But I want us to take a quick look today at verse 18. Verse 18 is where we're going to take our thought from today. And it says, and Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is after that Jesus had died on the cross and was resurrected, and he had already appeared to different ones, but the words that the Lord told the women was, you go where the Lord designated you to go. And that was into Galilee. Now, for a long time, I thought that these verses right here were basically said right as he was resurrected. But if you go back and you look at his resurrection, at his ascension. I said the wrong thing, excuse me. At his ascension. When you go back and look at where that it talks about that he was carried up in the clouds in the book of Acts, as Luke wrote it, you'll find that he was going near Bethany, that he was on the Mount of Olives even. Now, the Mount of Olives is not just one mountain. It's a whole line of mountains. And I'm truthfully, I'm not real sure. I've never been there. I know it's a rugged area. It may be not much more than a hill as far as we're concerned. But the actual, they were going out towards Bethany is where he ascended from. But here in Galilee, Jesus gives his church a commission. Now, that's not what the message is about today. But I want you to pay attention to a phrase that Jesus uses here in this 18th verse. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, the power here is considered to be authority. And he had the authority. Now, I will ask you a question in your own mind as you look at this and you think about Jesus as what you've heard him teach and preach through the scriptures and what you've heard other preachers say. Did he have authority while he was here on earth before his ascension or before his resurrection? Now, the answer is yes, he did. But we find here he reminds them of his authority, his power that he has. Now, I'm going to try to get into a little bit more about this power. And I want you to go with us, if you would, to the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. And to see a couple verses here as in prophecy about this power that Jesus was receiving. Now, in the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of Daniel, it says, and I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man That Son of Man is Jesus himself. He said, I saw the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now, the Ancient of Days is God the Father himself. And they brought him near before him, back before God. They brought Jesus unto God. I believe that was in the day of his ascension that it was. But notice in verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. Now, we understand today that Jesus is Lord of Lords. We remember at his crucifixion, Pilate put a sign over his head, and he put it on there for a definite reason, because that the Jews had said, he says he is a king, is what he said. They said. And what they end up doing was, when Pilate put it on the sign, he made a proclamation to the world that he really was the king of the Jews. Actually, he was more than just the king of the Jews. He was king of all creation. He was the king that God had designated to be the true king. If you will with me for just a minute, I hadn't reviewed this in my mind, but if you go back over into, I believe it's into 2 Samuel, it is where it is, and maybe it's 1 Kings, I should say. I believe it's 2 Samuel. But if you go back and you review a king that was over Israel at that time, his name was David. Now, throughout the scriptures in different places, you find that David is referred to as the father of Christ, in a sense. But yet, David himself said that he was not the true father. Yes, he was of the lineage of David, but he was not the true father. God the Father was his father. Now, in this, though, I want you to remember something. In those days, we have a picture of what is fixing to happen. We have what the world would say, a problem in those days. David was sick, and he was needing to step down as king. Now, you know that from the reading of the scripture that Solomon was going to be the king, or ended up being the king himself. But what the scripture doesn't tell you in many places, or what we forget in many places, Solomon was actually the fourth in line. He had two older brothers that died before that the time came for them to be king. By the way of reigning, those older brethren were supposed to be the king themselves. But there was another brother that was older than Solomon also, and he proclaimed himself to be king. And by him doing that, this was against what God wanted, first of all. It was against what David had said unto the prophet Nathan and unto his mother Bathsheba. He had said to them that my son Solomon will sit upon my throne, is what it said. But that older brother proclaimed himself to be king. Now, what I'm trying to get to your mind is, there came a time when David gave him authority. He gave him power to be the new king. Now, I'm not going into all the details about this, but it was a picture of what that God desired and what it was going to be, and it was a picture of Jesus himself. The world in this day would like to think that there is many dominions or many leaders in this world that has much more power than Jesus himself. But you'll notice in our reading lesson that it said, all power is given unto me. Now that word all is a plain word. It means all of this, all of the world, all of the power of this world, not only of this world, but also in heaven itself. And we'll get more into that here in just a minute. But what he says here in that 14th verse, and there was given him dominion and glory. In other words, he got the ability to rule over all things. And we'll get to that more. He said, and glory. In our minds today, we tend to think of glory as being just the glory or the brightness. We think about the glory of the sun, even the glory of the moon on a nice dark night when the moon is shining out. And we see the glory of the stars. That's the glory that we tend to think about many times. But the glory that Jesus received was not a brightness of light, but a glory in which that it allowed him to be visible in this world. He says, and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. Now, this kingdom here, I want you to pay attention to this kingdom. As David had a kingdom in Israel, the nation of Israel even, this was David's kingdom to give to his son, whom he desired to be king, Solomon, if you would, as the scripture teaches us. So God has the power to give to him, his son, the one that he desires to be king. He has a desire for him to have that kingdom. You'll remember when that John the Baptist came into this world, he was preaching unto them. First of all, I want to back up just a second. And he was meant to prepare the way for our Lord. But what he came preaching in that day was this, that he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, repent first of all, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After Jesus had been baptized, it said when he started to preach, what did he preach? He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe that he started his kingdom while that he was here upon this earth. He set up his church. He called out 12 of his disciples and called them apostles. You'll find over in the book of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, maybe it's 2 Corinthians, where that Paul makes the statement that he put first in the church apostles, those 12 that he talked about. He put them in the church first of all, is what he said there. But he set up this kingdom, and he said that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. Now, in this day today, we would probably say that the world does not serve Jesus in this world today as a whole. I understand that today. But there is coming a time when that all the world will serve him. Now, I want us to go unto the Christmas story that you'll find in the first chapter of Luke. And as the angels are proclaiming unto the shepherds about this. Notice in verse 32, they've gotten the shepherds' attention, and it says, And he shall, now back up, I'm at the wrong place there. It was when the angel was talking to Mary. In verse 32, he says, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Not the son, he was called son of Joseph, but he was not the son of Joseph. In our hearts today and in the world's mind today, they need to see him as the Son of the Highest, is what it says. But he says, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now you might say, well, that was the way that the Jews thought, that he was going to make a worldly throne here upon this earth. And that's what the Jews thought. They thought that he would be a man that would come like Solomon was, or excuse me, like Moses was, and he would deliver them from the pains of their bondage. They thought the Roman people would be put aside by this Messiah that they thought. But the bondage that Jesus came to deliver us from was not an earthly bondage, but a spiritual bondage. We find it where Jesus told the Samaritan woman in that day that she, he said, it'll be where that you must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, God is a spirit, is what he said right before that. He said, God being a spirit, he said, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what he goes on to say here, he says, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, go with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews in the very first chapter. I've read this several times, but boy, I'd never noticed one particular part here in this verse. First of all, let's get the background of the book of Hebrews. First of all, most people say it was written by Paul. I have to agree with them, but there's no actual evidence that Paul wrote it. But I want you to get who's doing the talking here and what they're talking about. In the first couple of verses, it talks about how that God talked by the prophets, is what it tells us about here. But down here in the fifth verse, he says, for unto you, for unto which of the angels said he at any time. Now, who's talking here and who is this he? I think it's very important to understand who these pronouns are. This he is God, and he is talking to the angels, is what he said. And he said, thou art my son. Now, I think everyone here in the house today can say within ourselves that Jesus is the Son of God. Even if you're not saved, you've been taught it enough that you've kind of got it in your mind. You may not believe it completely enough to be saved just yet, but when you get to that place where you'll believe it with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, then you'll be saved. But listen, as God says, for thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I like that word, begotten. It's left out of many of the translations that modern day translations, maybe I should say that. It's left out of that. And they might say, well, what difference does it make? He's still the Son of God. I agree it is. But the world today will tell you that Jesus, well, he was a good man that God adopted as his son. That's not true. They'll say, well, Jesus was a good man, and yes, he was the Son of God, but God just took him as his son. That word begotten means a lot more. What begotten means, if you look at the scripture, it means that in my case, I was begotten by my father, Jack Hackett. In your cases, whoever your father was, he begot you. He gave birth. The mother gives birth, excuse me, but he was the head of that. He was the one that brought that life together in that way through the human ways. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus was born into this world by Mary herself, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she became with child at that time. Not by Joseph, not by another man, but by God himself. And what he says here, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father. You know, that puts him in this same place. And he shall be to me a son. You see, when the scripture talks in the Bible about God and Jesus doing the speaking, he will always refer to him as the Father. But there's different times in the scripture where that God himself spoke out. You remember when Jesus was baptized? You remember what God said in that day? You know, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. At the transfiguration, he was up there in the mountains with his three apostles up there, and they had saw Jesus transfigured with Moses and Elijah, and they heard a voice that said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. There was another time that God spoke again, this is my Son, hear ye him. But what he said, he is my Son. But now I want you to drop down to verse 8 and look at verse 8. But unto the Son, who is that Son? It's Jesus, right? He saith, thy throne. Remember, he is the one that has the power. He has the authority. And a king in this, we don't have kings. We've got a president in this United States. But the fact of the matter, when you have royalty, those kings have the power. They have the authority to basically do whatever they have in their mind they're going to do. There's no checks. There's no balances to them. But in this case here, God says unto the Son, thy throne, O God. Notice he calls him God. Yeah, Jesus is God. And by the fact that he is God, he has power. Not just power as we think about as far as casting lightning or causing the seas. Not just powers as to calm the seas as we saw in the scripture. But he has all power. He has all the authority. But listen to what he said. Is forever and forever. You know, one of the arguments that the world puts out here today is this. Well, Jesus came down here and he may have been the Son of God, but he died. You know, they back up at it and they say, well, he really didn't have the authority to stop them. Oh, yes, he did. Remember what he told Peter there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told him to put up his sword because he cut the ear off of one of the men. And he said, you put up your sword. Do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels and they would deliver me? Do you not think that even while he was on the cross itself, hanging there in pain and agony, all he had to do was summon those angels. Remember, he's got power and authority at that time. He is the Son of God. Him hanging there on that cross at that moment of time, if it ever gotten so terrible in his mind that he'd have said, Lord, I can't do this. Send an angel down and deliver me. No, God would have done it. He would have. But you know what? We'd have died in our sins. Every one of us would have. But he says, it is forever. You know, today, Jesus may have died on the cross, but as I said earlier, he came forth from the grave. And what that means is he came out of that grave. And as I said earlier, he overcame death. He overcame sin before that. But he overcame death. He overcame the grave. He came out of that grave. And by him coming out of that grave, that made it where we could come out of that grave. That we could have everlasting life itself. But this kingdom that he has, he's going to be king of it, not just for a little while. Y'all know how long Solomon, well, I mean, back up. Y'all know how long David was king over Israel? 40 years. Do you know how long Solomon was? 40 years. And he died. You start looking at the lineage of these kings, they all reigned a certain amount of time and they died. Oh yeah, Jesus died, but then he rose again. And what did he do? He rose again to live forever and forever. Now, I want you to notice this ninth verse before I leave this book of Hebrews right here. Ninth verse, he said, this is the reason why that he's making him king. He said, thou hast loved righteousness. You know how he loved righteousness? He stayed righteous. He never sinned. You know what it says next? He hated iniquity. That's sin. He hated it. He hated it so much that he gave every bit of his life not to sin. What one of us today can go, I'll be nice to us. What one of us can go 24 hours without wanting to sin? 12? 2? Can we go 1 hour without some form of sin getting into us? You know, Jesus not only went 1 hour, he not only went just 1 minute, not even two hours, not just 24 hours. He went a full lifetime. He hated sin so much. You know what he did? He went to the cross and he died there. He went to the cross and he took the sin that he did not have. He took the sins of us, all of us, all of the world. He took all of that and he bore it there on the cross, being that perfect sacrifice there on the cross. He became the one that could bury it completely. As the scripture said, he hides our sins in the depths of the sea. And I'm not talking about the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. I'm talking about the seas of time is what I believe that's talking about. He hides it completely away from all sight. He is that God that is forever and forever. Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all of thy fellows. Now, I'm going to the book of Philippians, and we're going to close out right here, Brother Sam. In the book of Philippians, I want you to get a couple verses here. In the second chapter of Philippians, Paul writes these words, starting with verse 9. He said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Exalted means to lift up. God did. Then notice his next phrase. He hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Brother Key likes our church song. Jesus. Jesus. I can't sing it. I can't even repeat the words of it good. But you think about that. Give him a name that is exalted above everything. This Jesus, who has the power and the authority that God the Father gave to him. He said, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I'll ask you a question. You know, we see King David as the conquering hero. We see Solomon as the wisest king that ever lived. And I think sometimes we kind of get in our minds that Solomon was probably fairly passive since he didn't ever have to fight. But you know what the penalty was if somebody came in before those kings and they did not pay him reverence? You know what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to bow. They was to put their knees up on the ground. And they were to be in that position until what happened? The king told them to stand up. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean to the glory of Jesus, don't you? No, to the glory of God. You know, when Solomon was made king, you know who they glorified? David. Here a few months ago, Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain passed away. Immediately, her son, Charles, became the king. But who did they glorify? Queen Elizabeth. It was the natural thing. She'd brought him into the world. If time goes on, when Charles dies, his son will take his place. You know what they'll do? They'll glorify him. We have a great God that's going to be forever. We have his son that's going to be forever. And he's the head of all things to the church, to his kingdom. That's what he's about, his kingdom. Well, I didn't talk that much about the birth of Christ today, but we talked about Jesus, didn't we? Now, I want you to understand something. There's coming a day, and as we said, as far as the world's concerned today, Jesus is not looked upon as God. But there's coming a day when those verses right there are going to come to everybody's mind. Every knee will bow. Whether they bowed on this earth or not, every knee will bow. They may have denied him. In the first chapter of Revelation, it says, even those men that put the nails in his hands would see him. You know what they're going to be doing? Bowing. You know what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to bow. I hope I know every one of us is going to be bowing. You know what? There's two big differences in the people there. And Brother Sam, I'm going to fix close with this. There's a big difference between those two people, those two groups of people. One group saved. We're going to bow to give him honor. You know why those others are going to bow? Those sinners, those lost ones? They're going to bow out of fear. Yeah, they're going to bow out of fear. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. I didn't realize. I didn't understand. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Too late. Too late. Brother Sam, why are we singing? Why are we singing today? Today is a good day to find the Lord. These altars are set aside for places to pray, not only for those that are lost and undone and needing to be saved, but for anyone that wants to come and pray. This is a place set aside for you today. While we stand and sing, you need to bow here now before the Lord comes back. You don't have to be here to get saved. But it's a good place to pray while we stand and sing.
181. 181.